Welcome to our pre-show. Woo! Who is this guy, man, that played the villain in... this guy's great. And it's one of the James Bond movies. And it's Roger Moore and I don't know who. All right. Anyway, welcome to the pre-show. Today we're going to have Dean Wheeler's going to come back on and complete the segment that he was supposed to complete last night on, or yesterday, I should say, you know, I'm telling you right now, this goddamn fucking, why do I feel this motherfucking chair is still too fucking small? Shouldn't I be about like here? Why in the fuck does this... Yeah, there it is. There, just... What, how does this fucker get lowered, man? I bet you it's because I'm so fucking fat. I bet you it's because I'm so motherfucking fat that it just compresses this piece of shit. Actually, I know who this is. You know who this is? I know exactly who this guy is. He's the guy that was in Munich, in the movie Munich. His name's Michael something. He's a French actor. He's very good. And in the movie Munich, he played... He was like the father. He was the guy that ran that whole information thing in Paris. Anyway, you guys forget it. All right, so, what's his name? Michael something? So we have Bob Bankian. Bob Bankian with traffic. Where's the motherfucking timer? God damn it! I know what I'm gonna do. Don't worry about it. I got this shit fucking under control, brother. Nope, I don't need that shit. I'm just fucking around here. Sorry, guys. If I'm not making any noise, it's just because I'm fucking around. I'm not fucking around. I'm looking for something. I'm looking for a particular tool here that I need for the show today. And I'll have it here in a minute. I'm under accessories. And what am I looking for? I'll tell you what I'm looking for. I am looking for... any kind of a timer, like a stopwatch. What is this shit? I'm looking for a stopwatch kind of a deal, kind of a thing. And I'll get that motherfucker just as soon as I possibly can. And in case you're wondering what is going on here behind me, there it is right there. It's Dr. Fucking... I think it ain't Dr. No. It's some bullshit. It's a Roger Moore movie. I didn't like him as the guy. All right, so, motherfucker. Where the fuck? I know what I'm gonna do. I know, I think I know. Now I think I know. Now I think I get it. Yeah, all right, now. Fuck, no, this isn't it. All right, I'm totally good here. So, as I said, welcome to the thing. How you guys doing? Okay. Not a whole hell of a lot that's new between yesterday and today. I have a couple of meetings with regard to our podcast, and our downloads, by the way, have jumped. I would say significantly. We've had a jump of about 20,000 downloads in one fucking week. which is amazing. And I really feel that this is why I was saying to you, I think we're going to blow up on the podcast this year. We don't have that many podcasts available that are not behind a paywall. Most shows have hundreds. And while advertisers don't buy downloads from, you know, they don't buy downloads from way back, you see. They don't buy, for instance, downloads of episodes from like a year ago. They don't buy downloads of episodes from much more than 6 weeks ago. What they do look at are download numbers. And when we make that kind of a jump in our weekly downloads, it's a significant thing. So I can't thank you guys enough. I know that this part of our podcast is not a part of the podcast. This is a BSP thing. But it's still important, I think, for us to acknowledge, certainly, what you have been a very big part of. I mean, look here. And continue to be. This is the thing I forgot to tell you guys. I'm not going to say the name of the company, but I have reached an agreement with a major comedy producer here in and across the country. You'd know who this person is. I'm not mentioning any names. And we are going to have our pilot shot this summer, finally. What is the show? Not going to tell you. And the whole reason why I can't tell you is, as you know, the big fat mouths, not you guys, but it leaks out into the ether and it gets into the fucking thing. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, everybody in goddamn town knows what it is. And not that I'm the, you know, not that anybody's hanging on my every word, but I can assure you that you'd be surprised, you know, what you'd say. I could say something like, you know, some dude just on a, if anybody's got a good idea, the people are going to rip it off. So. That's why it's not me, but I think the idea we have is great. And we just had a great meeting, and we're going to get this pilot at least shot. We're going to get this fucker on film so that we can see what it looks like, so that we can trot it out in front of people. So there's that, and that's pretty big. And then on Wednesday, we're going to be talking with some old friends concerning our podcast. And it's kind of a... it's another week, you know, it's another one of these weeks where we just sort of build a little bit of momentum here for the Phil Henry brand, you know. What was going on, man, like 2 years ago? 2 years ago, it was 2013, right? We were only, oh my God, 2 years ago, we were getting ready to finally be rid of our association with you-know-who. Yeah, 2 years ago we were finally divesting ourselves of that encumbrance, and we're looking forward to a magnificent year, and it turned out to be a good one because what happened was we got out of that. We spent a little bit of time trying to reassert the show terrestrially, and that was a waste of fucking time. And now what we've done is simply reestablish the show as a digital product. And one of the amazing things about our podcast, as opposed to our radio show, is that you guys stayed with us as subscribers. We gained business, in fact, by virtue of the fact that we offered our audio-only subscription model. You know, instead of just the all-access, we now gave you a audio-only option. And when we looked at our business from the time we left the terrestrial model to 1 year later, we were doing great. We'd actually increased our business. We'd actually increased our revenue. That's, I think, not really an amazing... I think that's a testament to what's happening in the digital world. I mean, more and more people are getting into listening to podcasts and listening to digital product. It's not anything Phil Hendry did. That's for goddamn sure. It's just that we took advantage of what was going on. And, I mean, who would have thought, nobody in the radio world thought that podcasting, that on-demand listening, and changing up the content so that it was just more diverse and more, I don't know, just the content available to you in terms of podcasting was far more varied than anything you were getting on radio. Anything. The podcasting has provided the American consumer an audio entertainment commodity that is far and away more diverse than anything that was offered on radio, number one. And number two, it gives you the option of on-demand listening. So those two aspects of podcasting, no one in radio would have predicted would be the game changers in, say, 4 or 5 years ago. Now, is podcasting generating the same money that radio is right now? No, it isn't. But guys, I've been there, I've done that. And let me tell you what that means. I mean, I have seen these technocrats, if you will, in the traditional media, in the traditional media power centers, always say the same thing. Yeah, well, look at the numbers. See, they're not making the money. And right now, we still have the power. Yeah, they still have the power. But one of the problems with radio is they're not doing anything with it. Just like they weren't doing anything with it 10 years ago. Just like they weren't doing anything with it 20 years ago. Just like they weren't doing anything with it 30 years ago. So while they still have the majority of listeners, and that is as the result of basically sort of habitual listening. People just listen out of habit. When they get in the car, they turn a radio on, because podcasting has not yet been made as user friendly in the car as it could be, should be. I mean, God knows we've tried to educate people by saying, if you've got your smartphone, you have the Phil Hendry Show. If you got your smartphone, you have us anywhere you want to go. I mean, listen to people asking me all the time, Phil, are you on? I just had a guy asking me, are we on in St. Louis? Yeah. We're on. You got an iPhone? Or you got a Droid? You got a phone that gets tune in? You got a phone that gets our website? Yeah. We're goddamn right we're on. We are on in that market. You know? And, hey, Phil, are you on in New York? Yeah. Hey, Phil, are you on in the fucking Indian Ocean? Yeah. Probably, you know, if any of those people from Malaysian Air 370 are around any place, they can fucking, you know, wire in the show if they want to. Wherever there's Wi-Fi, that's where we are. And the Wi-Fi is a whole lot of goddamn places, man. Now, that's an easy way of saying, and I realize it's difficult for people to sort of go, and I'm not saying people are dumb. It is a matter of changing habits. And we know in media, those of us that work in this business, we understand how habits change very slowly. We understand that people want it to be as simple a process as possible. When it is too fucking complicated, it goddamn well loses potential customers. That's why I said to my very close personal friend there, Larry, you know, Lawrence Ross and the guys who have their digital show and they have their podcast, and they were talking with me. I was on the show one time and they were talking about, well, we're here. You can find us if you click here and go here and go here. It's too fucking complicated, man. You guys understand that. I understand it. People that work within the medium understand it. The average consumer doesn't fucking get it. And what's more important, they ain't going to fucking waste their goddamn time with it. They're just not, man. Any more than you or I would. If I go and buy a car, I don't know anything about fucking cars other than what I like. I know a little bit about price. I probably tend to overspend on cars. Recently, I got rid of my Jaguar and I went with a Land Rover because I wanted a truck. I wanted something. I'm landscaping my fucking house. You know, I'm trying to do some things landscape wise with my house. So the first thing I need is something that's going to haul shit from the nursery. I can't do that in my Jaguar. I can do it with a truck. I got a Land Rover. It's got a whole lot of fucking space. It's also a fairly decent passenger vehicle, and it's not a half-bad date-night car, okay? It doesn't cost as much as a Range Rover. It's a huge motherfucking car. It seats 7 people in that thing. So I can take that on the road. You can camp, you know, go camping in it. A lot of stuff that, frankly, I haven't done in a lot of years, and I'm going to start doing because I have a car that can accommodate that. Other than that, I don't know shit, man. I walk on a lot. There, I want that car. Is it smart? Is it stupid? That's not the point. That's not the point. The point is, what are people doing? You can say that that's a stupid thing. You can say that's a smart thing. If you're the kind of businessman that says, well, shit, I'm not going to accommodate that guy because he's stupid. What's that mean? You don't like money? Because if that guy's dumb and he still just looks for the car that's got the brightest, shiniest fucking paint job, irregardless of price, or it has those black rims that look fucking gangster and everybody wants that shit, you're going to play to that guy. You're going to try and get his business. Same thing in podcasting. So we have to do that in podcasting. We have to make it easy. We have to make it one punch, boom, here it is. We have to make it so that I believe podcasting is best going to be used as a touchscreen device. Probably there will be touchscreen in cars. You go to your pod, you boom, 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 boom. You line up all the fucking podcasts you want to listen to on your road trip, or you line up everything that you listen to every morning, you know, on your way to work. And it just is a matter of punch, punch, punch. One fucking button takes you exactly to where you want to go. It takes you not just to the station, but the great thing about podcasting is it takes you directly to the fucking show you want to hear. So if you are a radio listener of Rush Limbaugh, you know, you love Rush, you got all of his fucking shows there. And then you like to listen to Sean Hannity. Because I'm just thinking of the traditional talk radio listener. A lot of people will tell you, oh, they like live. I know that I can find a group of people that are fans of a certain traditional way of presenting entertainment for the ears. And I will find them, and they'll always be there, and they'll always be very passionate, and they're always going to be people that will argue vociferously in favor of live and the old way of doing things. Okay, I understand that, but that's not the majority of people. That's not where the money is. That's not where the business is. That's not where the listening is. The listening right now is trending toward podcasting and the variety of entertainment, the varieties of entertainment that it offers. It could be music. It's certainly spoken word, whatever the fuck that means. It means you'd be talking. What other kind of words are there? Oh, there's singing words. Why don't we call music singing words? We're doing spoken word, yeah? As opposed to what? Singing words. And what about instrumentals? Well, that's non-singing words. I mean, no, that's non-word. That's non-word singing. That's non-word. I don't know. It's called music? Oh. So that's the grooviest of groovy things, man. That's the grooviest of the grooviest. I can't tell you how important it is. As I'm sure you understand. So it was really, it's really remarkable, you know. And I can tell you that I'm really grateful in a way that we've got podcasting, because what happened to my radio show, and I've said this on a number of occasions, you may be a new user of our podcast, especially of our pre-show. My radio show, as classic as it might have been, and I put that in quotes because, you know, I think it was a classic show, and certainly it's a good show. The quality of the show is great. Although there are hours that I could do without. When I go back to the archives and I listen to some of the hours are fucking funnier than shit. And then there's hours, there's like rant hours and shit. I don't want to listen to them. You know, I think the show spun off into politics far too much back then. But anyway, the point that I'm making is, back in those days some of the traditional longtime fans would tell you were the halcyon days. Well, I hate to break the news, as I've said before to them, and I will say to you now, if you're a new listener, we were constantly struggling with maintaining affiliates, constantly struggling with advertising. I had to get into I screamed at one of the national sales managers over there at Premier one day. I mean, I fucking just lit into her. Then I got another one there who was just giving me a whole bunch of fucking sales talk, and I suddenly realized that I was with a, I was within a business model that was not going to extend itself one bit to promote any kind of non-traditional kind of fucking entertainment, which is what we were doing. They just weren't going to do it. They were going to go for the low-hanging fruit. They would much rather have an easy sell like a fucking, you know, any, like the thing that was happening there were conservative shows. They'd much rather have an easy sell like a conservative show. Just go out and say, oh, look, we have the so-and-so show. Then try to help a show like ours build momentum. And those days were not good days, man. When it came to business, those were days that were tough days for us. As much as people may think that we were doing such a fantastic job with our show, yeah, sure. But we were struggling with the infrastructure. We were struggling with the bureaucracy, the technocracy of radio in getting the show. And I would say, well, here's how you promote it, and here's how you position, here's how you... And I mean, they were willing to make an effort only this far, and it was like, you know, forget it, man. It's like being a product in a warehouse. Well, these products are selling here, this product isn't. And that's a show that the so-called traditional fans thought was just a great fucking show. Well, I mean, I hate to tell you, man, but it wasn't, it was not business-wise. It was always a really, really tough fucking show to sell. I'm not saying that I want to go, I want to compromise my so-called integrity as an artist. I'm just telling you, you'd be surprised commercially what was viable in those days. And in talk radio, my radio show, people will tell you how great it was, but half of those motherfuckers that managed and that's why I say what I say about programming and management. People think I'm just some, you know, just an angry, cantankerous motherfucker. I'm telling you the fucking truth, man. Nothing I'm telling you is ask them. And make sure you ask them when I'm in the fucking room, though, you know, because those motherfuckers will probably tell you anything. But you go ahead, you ask these people, and if they give you an honest answer, they'll tell you, we couldn't fucking sell that. We couldn't position, we couldn't program, we could do anything with it. Okay? Now, I make a fucking living. I make a goddamn good living with the digital product that we have today, not only our modern podcast, but our archive material. Now, why is that? How is it? How is that possible that I'm making a fucking good living here using a subscription model and the motherfuckers in radio couldn't sell, as my dear father used to say, pussy on a fucking troop ship? Motherfuckers can't sell shit. What's the story?
Well, they'll tell you. You see, the business, your loyal fan.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of different ways. In other words, more than one way to skin a fucking cat is what you're telling me. And you're talking about revenue streams. Isn't that right? Isn't that what you guys in radio used to talk about? I remember when we had the big meeting there in Miami. Revenue streams. There's new revenue streams. You know, and we have to talk about revenue streams. And that's good shit. I said, well, you know, all right. Talk to me about these fucking revenue streams. What do you mean revenue streams? What do you mean demographic, everybody's number one in something? That was the big meeting we had. You know, everybody's number one in something these days. So it doesn't matter that you're number one. It matters that you create revenue streams. The biggest revenue stream that radio had staring them right in the motherfucking face in the mid-90s was the potential of the digital platform, the digital the digital medium. And they fucking missed that, man. You couldn't have missed that wider the mark if you were a fucking stone cold blind. These guys in broadcasting couldn't figure that. All they thought they would do would be to get another fucking conservative show on the air and another motherfucking conservative show on the air until they destroyed that. And then by the, you know, the spring of 2013, they decided to go all in with sports. And that's what you have today. You got a few talk shows and you got sports. I was on a radio station in San Francisco filling in with the greatest respect to those guys. They're great guys. They're sweet, sweet people. But I'm going to tell you, they got a 0.9. A point fucking nine. That's their rating. Okay. When you have a .9, that's the time to fucking bust out and get something done, motherfucker. If you think like a broadcaster, if you think like a dick sucker, and I don't mean that in any gay sense, I mean that if you're, in other words, if you're just a whore, then you think of using that as a dumping ground for ads, and then eventually trying to position it as a valuable property, sell it for as much fucking money as you can, and get the fuck off that thing. Clear Channel owns that station up there, or iHeartRadio, whatever the fuck they call themselves. It's the poor station, a point fucking nine. So what's Clear Channel doing with that? They stuck a bunch of their fucking conservative shows on there, I guess. And then they got a programmer in there, maybe, and said, let me try that. They give them 6 months. It ain't long enough. They put no money behind any effort that programmer may want to make. Maybe there's a manager there that backs them up. Maybe not. Generally, the general managers of those stations are looking to fucking push the eject button and find themselves to a much more secure position someplace. The only people that are really there giving their motherfucking all are the goddamn people on the air. So if you want a station like that, in the old days, if you want to go back to in the old days, they'd say, well, let's try something different, man. Or let's try and, excite the audience somehow. Let's do something that's going to get us some in the newspaper. Let's do something to get us on television. Let's do something that'll get us mentioned on other stations. What these guys today do, these technocrats that run these global media companies like iHeartRadio, is they simply look at the bottom line, they go, .9, how much money are we making? And do we sell it? Do we give it away? Do we just dump shit on there? They don't think in terms of exciting or interesting or a groundbreaking entertainment or performance at all. Nothing, man. They don't do shit, you know? They just don't fucking do shit. They just, that's too far afield of where they're coming from. Those motherfuckers don't know anything. They come out of pharmaceutical sales, or they work in a capital partners, or they were, you know what I'm saying? I mean, all these guys know how to do is like our good friend Gordon Gekko there in Wall Street, you know, just buy and break up companies, buy and break up another company, buy and break up another fucking company. Just buy a company for a certain price, break it up and sell it off for more than the sum of its parts and move on to something else. That's it. That's all they know how to do. And thank Christ we live in the economy we live in, where we can go ahead and say, all right, you know, you guys got too motherfucking big. You guys became too motherfucking boring. You guys became too motherfucking uniform and vanilla. So now you have all these motherfuckers popping up everywhere doing podcasting. Now, here's the thing. You know, a lot of people who don't know their fucking ass from a hole in the ground will tell you that podcasting is going to have a limited run. It's a fad. It's a phase. Let me say this. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of shows. There's going to be a lot of people. There are going to be a lot of podcasts that are here today that won't be here in a year or two. It's the thing shakes out, you know. And people who don't really have a second act, whatever. I don't know. Like I'm often saying to people, you know, there's a million art stores. You can go and buy paints and canvases, and you can buy sketch pads, and you can buy sketching pencils, and you can buy easels, and you can buy oil paints, and you can buy acrylic paints, and you can buy watercolors, and you can buy easels this big and that big, and you can buy that big and this wide. You can get all kinds of tools for the price of maybe groceries, and you can become, you know, at least have an the tools to be an artist. Anybody can do that, just like anybody can do a podcast. But there's only one Rembrandt, there's only one Picasso, there's only been one, whoever, you know, Leonardo da Vinci. There's only one of those guys, man. In other words, if you know how to do it, you know how to do it. If you don't, then your shit ain't worth shit. Okay, I got to get my ass going here, man. I don't know what else to tell you. Dude, you know, I'm trying. The best way I know how to, I don't know. No. We got 4 minutes. Not really 4 minutes. Can I zero this shit out, man? How do we do this, man? Can I zero this out? Watch me just fuck this all up. Doody doot 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 doo. Selection start. So if I went like that. Oh. Don't do it, Phil. Man, don't do it. Willie, don't do it, man. So I think that that is it in a fucking nutshell. I got to tell you, you got to watch this fucking documentary I'm watching right now called The Staircase about Michael Peterson. Don't tell me how it comes out, but I kind of guess how it's going to come out. But goddamn, is it good? It's fucking great. It's a documentary made in France about a murder case. Maybe a couple of murder cases here in the United States. This guy's very similar to this motherfucker Durst.
Man, I'll tell you that right now. It is very, very fucking interesting.
Right, Phil. Well, my feeling is quite different. I think, Phil, that what I want to do and what I want to be and who I...
Good. Testing. All right. I guess that's about a dozen, man. I think we can get our shit together here and get going, man. Don't you think? So, I don't know. There's some things to think about. Those are some things to think about. And I don't mean to, come off sounding... Honest to God, I don't want to sound like I'm just doing another rip job on the business. It's a very insidious business, broadcasting, unlike so many other businesses. Because, as I've often said, in television, in movies, in literature, they seem to celebrate, to a certain degree, talent. Even if you don't make a lot of money with a movie, you can win an Academy Award. Even if you don't make a lot of money with a book, you can win a Pulitzer. Even if you don't make a lot of money with a TV show, you can possibly win an Emmy. They award and celebrate creativity and talent. Only in radio, does the artist just get shuffled to the fucking side unless that motherfucker is making people money. Now, you may think, if you come from some other industry, that makes sense, but you don't understand what creating entertainment is. You don't understand what it takes to create an entertainment product. It takes a lot of fucking, failure. And it takes a lot of experimentation. And it takes a lot of fucking balls, frankly, putting your fucking balls right on a chopping block, man. You think me getting on the air and doing funny voices into a phone and having people call in, you think that shit, when I first put that on the air, people gave me shit about it. Every fucking town I went into, all the places where I say this was all, but Miami, LA, didn't matter. Everybody gave me shit. Everyone said it was a piece of shit. Everybody was fucking screaming and yelling, writing letters. I'm not just talking to the people that I worked for. I mean, the fucking listeners, That's why I always kid some people. I go, you were one of the guys that hated me and now you like me. And some people actually will admit to that. But I'm not saying that for any reason other than to say that you do have to run a little bit of a gauntlet. And only in radio do they not recognize that. Do they not understand it? Because radio is run, the creative side is run by sales guys. That's like giving a disc jockey the keys to the fucking kingdom when it comes to selling the radio station. It's like saying, Phil, you go out and sell for us now. You make the money for us. That makes about as much sense as giving the fucking programming reins over to a fucking sales guy. Doesn't make any fucking sense. It's fucking stupid. The best fucking general managers are the guys that bring in good programmers and put a fucking product on the air that people want to listen to. Not some motherfucker running the thing from his goddamn general manager's office. These guys that think they're, these fucking sales guys that think they're programmers, like I said, makes about as much fucking sense as taking some fucking disc jockey and putting him in the fucking general manager chair. And saying, okay, now you go out and you make sales calls, and you go out and you fucking massage clients, and you go out and you run a sales staff, and let's see how you do, man. And because we just know you'll be able to do it because we just have so much faith in your ass because, You are, why not, man? You've been a very successful guy. All right, we're going to do our show and fuck all this. See you on the other side.